and to all the saints, welcome to this worship session on this Wednesday evening. Glad that you are able to join with us, to all of our guests that are watching with us and worshiping with us. May the Lord richly bless you. We always look forward to the next service, and here it is. It's a great opportunity to receive strength and to give praise unto our Lord. We're going to go to God in prayer at the beginning of this service. I know that you have requests that possibly your own household would like to raise to the Lord at this time. I'm going to simply ask that our church family continue to pray for our dear brother Joseph Smith, that the Lord continue to strengthen him, give him full recovery. I'm going to continue to pray also for Brother Joe Gilbert, that God would give him full healing. He's been in the hospital, and praying that God give him the full recovery that our faith reaches for. I want you to pray for the service this evening, that your worship, our worship, can be acceptable in the eyes of our Lord, pure worship, and that the giving and the receiving of the word be blessed, and that we can grow and be nurtured, challenged by the word of God. And we continue to pray for those that lead in the state, the nation. Our prayers are certainly to be for them. It is scriptural that we do so, especially in these times of crisis. I'm praying for our church leaders. I'm praying for those that give direction for souls. I'm praying for every church member around the world, every child of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. I thank you that you're listening. Nothing is impossible with you. We thank you for the sunshine that is in our souls, for the hope that you have for us all, for the journey of success that is predicted in your word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the blessed hope of your victory. Right now, O God, we are asking for particular needs that are among our church family. I'm praying for Brother Joseph Smith. I'm praying for Brother Joe Gilbert. I'm praying for our world and local leaders. I am praying for our church leaders. I'm praying for all the saints of God. Our church family, dear God, be blessed, strengthened, encouraged, enriched. I pray the giving and the receiving of the word be blessed, so that we can grow in you. You're preparing us for your coming. Oh, we pray for this. We have longed for it. We wait for it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon. We give thanks for this. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. All right, let's keep the worship going as we sing, as you sing with these that lead in worship. It'll open our heart for the word of God. Bless you all.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just run into it, and they are saved.
at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great.
Thank you, singers. Truly great to be in the presence of the Lord. It's what we live for. That's the way He wants it. I'm going to ask that you would turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. It is a favorite reading that we enjoy because it has a lot of applications. We'll not ever exhaust all of the good that is in the Word. Every day there is a new meaning that can be gleaned, and new strength, a new application. Let's read. In the year that King Uzziah, and the king died that year, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. God bless the word that he has given to us. I'm going to preach this evening on this subject: when your king is gone. When your king is gone. God bless you. This has been, I'll speak in, if you will, two views. It's been a trying time for all of the church families. But on the other hand, it has been a victory time for many, many people in this church family. The reports that I have gotten through these weeks of service before the Lord in this fashion, most of you, it sounds, you have realized that no one is going to do your spiritual activity for you. And so you've made up your mind that I'm going to really do this. And you've put forth grand effort, and our Lord has helped each one. I was talking with one pastor some weeks ago when all of this was just beginning. And he said, you know, people are going to have to realize that they're going to have to be able to rub two verses together on their own and get their own fire started. When you see that I have got to live this without the close-up support that I am used to of the saints walking shoulder to shoulder. And so I have received the report, since many of the subjects across the pulpit have been given, such as it's time for you to be in the ark. Subjects about you finding treasures on Patmos. Miracles in the last day. The coming of the Lord being near. These things. It has really dawned on people that what you have heard about all your life in your church going, it's happening. We are truly headed for victory as the church of the living God. The back of the book says, we win, he wins. And so it is. Lift your heads. Redemption is near. I want to give an encouraging note this evening. I've read a text that has a most glorious scene in it. And I'd like for it to be encouraging to you and useful as well. Some things you've discovered about yourself in this time of being shut in, some things that you've discovered about yourself, some things that you, no doubt, I know you have because of your reports that you've discovered about the Lord. How necessary the revelations are that come through the Holy Ghost. Blessed is the man who is open, that can receive the voice of God, that God would still work on us individually day by day, perfecting us for that final resting in His dwelling. I remind you that I'm preaching about when your king, small k, when your king is gone. The word here is Adonai. I saw the Lord. In verse 1, it is Adonai. It is written with a capital L, but in the Hebrew manuscript, it is Adonai on this occasion. By the time you get to verse 3, the Lord of hosts, it is Jehovah Tzevaoth. And so the one in verse 1, the Lord in verse 1 is that majestic Jehovah in verse 3. One and the same. Isaiah is speaking something that he experienced. He saw it. It was a spiritual event. It had emotion in it. It was strengthening not only for himself, but it was strengthening for all of the nation of Israel and for us all, even until this day. How honored the man of God, Isaiah, was to receive such a strong and profound vision. Who was King Uzziah? Uzziahu is how it was pronounced in the Hebrew tongue. Who was he? He was a king that began reigning at 16 years old, stayed in position for some 50 years, operated as king over Israel under and alongside the powerful voice of Zechariah. Of the kings that you read about that God allowed Israel to have, there are three who surface on the top. Kings. You read about David, King David. You read about Solomon. And you read about King Uzziah. Uzziah did a lot of good. He did. He was young when he began. He realized that he needed the help of God. God helped him. The Bible said he was marvelously helped until he was strong. He was marvelously helped until he was strong. There came a day in King Uzziah's reign that somehow everything that he had achieved and everything that he had done, he turned it into himself. And a very tragic day when he decided that he would overstep his place and he would enter into the temple with a censer for worship and to not only be king but to take the role of and the activity of the priest. It was on that day, as he stood with the censer in his hand, that a spot on his flesh appeared, and he became leprous, and eventually he died. Years of good, but a bad choice, and the king of Israel, if you will, died. In that year that this happened to Uzziah, Isaiah said, I saw Adonai high and lifted up. And it was a vision that was so glorious that nothing compares to it in Scripture. Who did Isaiah see? God is a spirit. God, up to this point, it's a spirit. He did not become visible until Bethlehem in human form. What was Isaiah seeing? He was seeing the future victory of the Messiah. God who came down to man, God who descended and became flesh so that he could lead many sons to glory. When the earthly king died, small k, he was able to see with a new revelation, with an exciting clarity, he was able to see the Almighty, capital K, King, the Ancient of Days, if you will, the victorious one that we know and worship now, God with us. Amen. Isaiah, let me say it very plainly, looked ahead and saw the ascended Yeshua, Jesus, sitting upon the throne in all final glory and victory. That's what the church will see. That's what all of the world will see in just a bit. What did a king mean? Let me go at this pace for just a moment before I begin applying it to us all. What did a king mean in Israel? Did God anoint them? Yes, he did. God anointed them. Let me say it in this phrase for the sake of time. A king in Israel was not God's first wish. It was his permissive will. He anointed them. His first wish was that Israel would only have him, the Almighty God, the invisible God, as their king. Theocracy is what the Almighty desired for all of time. But because of the waywardness and the fleshliness of the nation of Israel, they looked at other nations around them. They looked at the Gentile kingdoms, and they wanted a king like the nations that were around them. And so finally, God gave them what they wanted in their heart. But they had so many problems connected with it, as God predicted they would. So when you see a king over Israel, when you see the list of kings, you are looking at what God allowed them to have. And it in short, represented, it represented the self-will of Israel. I pause for a moment and let that sink in. God anointed them. He spoke to kings. But I'm saying it again so that you'll understand the very basis of this message. I'm preaching about when your king is gone. God wanted to be their one and only king. But Israel wanted a visible, fleshly person on a throne. God gave them what they asked for. So when you see the list of kings over the nation of Israel in this book, you are looking at the kings of Israel's self-wish. That's what they wished for themselves. It is the imposing of self over God's wish. That being said, Isaiah said, when I saw the king gone, when the king was removed, what was the king? He was the figure of the self-will of the nation of Israel. When the object of their self-will was moved, Isaiah saw a revelation of the Almighty, greater than he had ever been able to voice. It was so great that at the very place that the throne was located, throbbed. Remember that word, because when we come back together, I'm going to preach a message about that very activity of the very heavens throbbing with the glory of God Almighty. Oh, we haven't learned at all about God. He is so almighty. He is so powerful. All strengths and all virtues beyond the words and the knowledge that we have. He is all of that, unlimited. We have not experienced all of God. We have not seen all of God. Where we are going in all of this, we are headed to an event. We are headed to an eternal life. And that is not just life without end. It is life that is so full, so multifaceted. We are headed to an eternal life that is unexplainable. When all of this is finished, it's indescribable. Don't be weary in the journey. Don't be weary. There are some things that constantly crop up that the church has to deal with, that we as human beings serving the Lord God Almighty, we have to deal with. Something always new, some new test, some new pressure, some new issue that we have to deal with. Let me just give a little parenthesis here, but I'll not do it while we are doing live streaming. But when we come back into the house of God, I've got some lessons that I'm going to bring to this church family about things that you're experiencing now, pressures that you're feeling now, intimidations that you are experiencing now within the church. When all of that is said and done, when it is all past, what was so big down here, what was so monumental and so bothersome and so chafing and so challenging down here, it will melt into nothingness when we see him in his throne room as the church is around that one that sits on the throne. And angels encircling the throne, and worship and color and voices of praise. And the presence of God becomes so great by that one who sits on the throne. Who is the Almighty? By the time you get to the book of Revelation, who is that Almighty? He was Jehovah in the Old Testament, and he is God Almighty, Jehovah Jesus of the New, one that sat on the throne. The glory becomes so great, Isaiah says, that the entire facility, let me call it that, begins to throb. It's going to be indescribable. The greatest church service that you were ever in. I don't care what happened, how great it was, how many people got healed, how many people were filled with the Holy Ghost, how much joy you felt. Yea, even the Shekinah, the Shekinah, visible, wafting among the worship. I don't care how great it was. It will not come close. It will not even compare at your best efforts of imagination. It will not compare with what we will all experience in the throne room. I'm spending time on that to let you know that he is so much greater than what we have made out of earthly kings. Persons, images, names of self will. We dress it up. We put money in it. We build great houses for them to live in. All sorts of ado is made because this is part of what we have wanted to build. This is what we wanted to elect. This is what we want. But when all of that is moved out of the way, much greater things can happen, will happen. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. When? When the king died. King. Isn't that a contradiction? What is he king over? How small of a king is he? He died. What was he king over? It's almost a clash of thoughts. The king died. Obviously, he is not an eternal king. No, he's not. No, he's not. Let me tell you, God, when it comes to earthly kings, sins. He raises one up and he puts another down. We can call them king, but what are they king of? What are they king of? Israel was still God's people. The land, the earth still belongs to God and all that is therein. The king is something that we have positioned. I think that I've illustrated that enough. Now let's go on. When your king is gone. In the first century, when the early church was under severe persecution, first Christians were not called Christians. They were called disciples of the way, remember. It was not until later on that they were called Christians. First of all, disciples of the way. Persecuted. Some gave their lives. Why did they have the symbol of the fish? Because of persecution. The Christian had to be careful. There was persecution. Why? Because emperor worship was in that day. That's what you were to worship. Emperor worship. It was a dangerous day for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, for the disciple of the way. It was a dangerous day. It is written that one Roman scoffer spoke to a Christian. In his sarcasm, he said, What is your carpenter doing now? What is your carpenter doing now? Trying to put down the man's worship of his Savior. And he answered, he said, he's making a coffin for your emperor. That's what he is doing. And so it was true. In just a little while, Nero died. When we say the king, what is he king over? Only what you've elected to put him over. Only the rights that you've given him. What you keep allowing him to have. I can promise you he is not eternal. That earthly king is not eternal. Let me give you a shocking statement. In the year that King Uzziah died, there is a day that every earthly king that we have put in position, there is a day for their removal. Let me tell you, people today, some 2,000 years later, you know what they use the name Nero for? How many pets are named Nero? Let me tell you, they scoffed at that Jewish carpenter of Nazareth, not recognizing who he was. Let me tell you, he is the ascended Lord. He is the Ancient of Days. And the name Nero is the memory, nothing more than a miserable memory of failure. Scoff as much as you wish. Prop them up. Stand your Dagon, fish god. Stand your fish god. Dog, Stand it right there if you will, and try to have it as confronting and on the same level as God. He'll fall on his face. You'll have to help him up. There is only one God, and there is only one King. That is the eternal King. That is why, for all of these generations and millenniums, it is still prayed, Baruch atah, blessed are you, Melech haolam, King of eternity. Earthly kings will come and go. Whatever you put in power, he is still over it. And when that is gone, and if he removes it, if he makes it fall on its face, he remains to be God. There is a person who said, and I'll not give their name, but a person who gave a great statement who said, what we choose changes us, and what we love transforms us. Think about it. What we choose changes us, and what we love transforms us. In this world, if the church is not careful, we will keep our vision very, very close to the ground. And all we will choose to see is what we have made and what we are doing and what is earthly. Until that is removed by whatever on the calendar. Whatever happens on a worldly scale, an economic scale, the health scale, whatever changes it and removes it, gives us the opportunity to see him, the real King. And we realize things about what we were, and what we were missing, and what we have never seen about him. My, my, my. I am looking at what has happened in the last little while. I'm listening to your reports. Obviously, the messages, obviously, sitting in your homes, you've had to make some decisions. If Jesus is about to come, then I've got to do this. I've got to start doing this. I'm not just speaking out into the air, friend. Let me tell you, I've prayed over this church family day after day and night after night. It's no coincidence that you called me. It's no coincidence that you sent a note. It's no coincidence that you were impressed to say, I have stepped into a higher level. I put away this. I put away that. Let me tell you, just about everyone that has reported in has let me know that they have ascended to a higher level of revelation about themselves and about him. So for whatever you discount about all of this, 6 weeks or longer it was and has been. Let me tell you, some people have spent some time viewing what is their self-will and what needs to be removed about self-will and self. Realizing that what the Spirit is saying is true and the Lord is coming, and I've got to really get a hold of this. And so many of you have, most of you have. You know what God has allowed to happen for Apostolic Temple? I'll say it for this church, hoping that it happened all around the world. I'm sure it has. I can only speak for this group. It has allowed you to hit the restart button. The reset button. To get it all back down to what really matters, and let's reset this. Let's recalibrate this. People realizing that when time is coming to an end, it's not your earthly career that's going to propel you into the eternal abodes of bliss. It's not what's going to get you there. And all the hobbies and all the things that were pulling on your time and you were allowing to be king, things that you had set up to be king, taking the place of God. You could not see. You did not see until all of that was affected. Till the whole world was stopped. Let me tell you, God stopped the whole world. And without qualifying that statement, he allowed it to be stopped by whatever means. So that saints who mean well and really want to be saved could find out about their own self-will and what things they had promoted, dressed up, put on a throne, given first place of time and priority. God let you hit the reset button. He has given you weeks to get self-will imposed over, superimposed over what you should have known, what the world, the church world should have known and felt and received, the glorious revelations of our Lord God. There was a man in the New Testament named Saul. He was powerful. He was a powerful Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin. Perfect, I borrow his words in his own letter, perfect when it came to the righteousness of the law. That's pretty strong. How zealous was he? Persecuted the church. What he thought he was doing, he did it with all of his might. He was a student of the teacher Gamaliel. He knew the word. He knew man's definition of what religion was supposed to look like, sound like, dress like, be like. And among his peers, he was respected. I'm going to tell you, you can put what you call religion, you can put that higher than God. And you can worship your own traditions in your religious circle. You can be so focused on that, you can call it worship of God, but you can be worshiping your own efforts. The way you do this, the way you do this, the way you don't do this, what we do, and especially what we don't do. So important, because that's what my hands have been put on. That's what I'm doing. That's when all the while it boils down to it. And how many groups and sects have recognized their failures, and they've announced that what we have evolved into is we are worshiping what we're doing. Let me tell you what, you've got to get rid of self. I don't care what file, what category, you got to get rid of self. The small k, the little king. The king has got to move for you to see him the way he wants you to see him. Persecuting the church on the Damascus Road, Saul saw a bright light. It blinded him. Fell to the ground. And what he heard was so opposed to what he thought about all of his earthly and recent religious service. It shocked him. God spoke out of the heavens and said, "Saul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me?" What do you mean? What do you mean, persecuting? You can be so caught up in whatever you dress up and call as first and most important, and this is how it's supposed to look like and sound like, and everybody else needs to pay attention that what we've set in motion, this is it. And God speaks over it all, knocks the man, blinded him on the ground, and said, "Saul," he called his name, "why are you persecuting me?" I'm going to tell you, God can knock all the pins out from under you, us, any group, at any time, any place, in a matter of seconds. And all of a sudden you see a revelation about yourself. When the little king gets knocked off of the throne, you start looking and realizing that there's something else out there. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" This man was a man that prayed the prayer more than once a day. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." He only believed in one Lord. Even still knocked down on the road, he knew there was only one Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice spoke back to him in the English version, "I am Jesus." And he was blinded for a handful of days. And the ultimate command was shocking. Here was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, an excelling student of the great scholar and teacher Gamaliel. All of the fleshly parts of the law, blameless, he said, blameless. "But while you are blind and on the ground, Shaul, let me tell you, you need to go get yourself baptized. Let me give you a revelation while you're flat on the ground and you can't see and you can't help yourself. And you have been all of a sudden, you have been stymied. Let me give you a revelation about what you need. You need to go get yourself baptized." And you know what he did? Exactly that. And the man that had achieved all of this that he had named about the merits of his birth and his achievements and his place and his education, da 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 da, how great, how great, how great. He said, "I count it as waste. Not until the little kingly thing that I had set up
That was what I served. That's how I did it. It was my zeal. I had everything all locked into that, not realizing that God wanted me to see something much bigger. God said, "You got it all wrong, Shaul. You need to go get yourself baptized, overwhelmed." And what we have as the New Covenant writings, that man finally, through revelation, penned some 2/3 of that. But the king has to be gone before the greater can be seen and experienced. It's called repentance. That's what it's called. And one of the messages, just in the past handful of weeks, I told you, I made some statement that you need to go through your house and redo and take out and with the help of God, try to bring everything back into the holy and the spiritual. Obviously, some of you did that. You took that seriously. And you have. Let me ask you, now that you did, how do you feel? What do you see? What do you think about yourself? What do you think about him? Without a doubt, you're relieved that what you had set up as king, some parts that were overriding, they were standing in the way, they were hindering what God was wanting to show and what he was wanting you to feel. Obviously, you're thankful. You feel freer, don't you? A greater revelation is always, always the better. I was still a youngster at our house. A knock came on our door late one morning. Dad went to the door. I remember as he stood with the door opened, and I was a youngster standing next to him. Dad was tall. In my eyes, standing next to him, looking out onto the front porch, there was a large man, a man that I had known all my life, a man who had come to church, a man who would work for the church, a man who would do anything you ask him to do, a man who brought other people to church, a man who filled his car up to bring guests and visitors to the church house. Kind man, good man, but he had never given himself to the baptism of the water and the Spirit. Never had repented. He was kneeling, and he had his hands up, and he was weeping. He said, "Brother Treese," talking to my father, he said, I was out in the ocean this morning, seining with a big seine net. For those of you that know of that method of fishing, his buddy was old Brother Dan Hooper. Just as boys, we would be invited to go with Brother Dan and Brother Nero, to go with them to the Gulf to fish, and they'd drag that big seine net out into the deep and walk down a space of the shore and then pull the deep end back up on the shore. dragged that net in, and oh, it was, I'll never forget what all we saw as boys. I had never seen such sea creatures. It was just like a treasure chest was opened every time they'd bring that net in. And we'd see things that I had never seen. They would be pulling the good fish out and collecting them and throwing back the jellyfish and the Gulf cabbages and the Gulf skates, and I don't know what their official name of all of these things, but that's what these common fishermen called them. And oh, just on and on and on. It was all the stingrays, and it was something else. This is what they enjoyed doing, is their method of fishing. But on this morning, Deb Nero, the big Frenchman, a good craftsman, came to church. He'd fall asleep. Ed was preaching and he would snore loudly. Was kneeling at our front door with his hands raised. And he was weeping. He was weeping so hard that he could hardly speak. He said, "Brother Tris, I was out seining this morning." And he said, "A big wave washed over my face." And he said, "When the water was gone, I could not see out of one of my eyes." He said, "I've lost my sight. I've lost my sight." "I need God," he said. "I need God." There was a missionary just across the parking lot from our house. There was a missionary, Sam Baker, that was in the evangelistic quarters of the old church. And Dad said, we'll arrange a prayer meeting. And so they did. The short of it was this. Dub Nero repented of his sins. He was not a young man. He had already lived a whole lot of his life. Lived it the way he wanted to. Of all the men that have ever been in the apostolic temple, he was, if not the strongest, he was among the strongest of men that's ever walked in the doors. He was a mountain of a man. He was a good craftsman. He was a kind man. But he had never given in to the will of God and what God wanted for him. He had a praying wife. Let me tell you, Irene Nero was the most prayerful, positive lady of faith that you have ever met. She never complained. Her life was not easy. I never knew of Irene Nero's life being easy. Had a lot of things to have to pray about. She would do her hands like that. You'd ask her how you're doing, and she always had some positive answer. She talked to God every morning. She started her day out like this, sitting in front of that plate glass window of her house. She'd sit down in a chair and began her prayer, and she'd say, "Good morning, Lord." And she would take off on her prayer. No telling how many hundreds, how many thousands of prayers she had prayed for her husband, Dub Nero, to change his mind and change his heart. Let me tell you, God can move kings up and he can put kings down. And whatever we've placed as king, he can take it away. He can move it in a moment. The finish of that story is that when Dub Nero got the Holy Ghost, when he fully repented of his sins and was baptized in water, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, he began to speak in a heavenly tongue that he could not stop. And for three days, going about his daily routine, somebody would ask him a question and he would try to answer. And when he would start to answer, I'll never forget the way when he was testifying in service one night. I'll never forget as a boy listening and watching him. He grabbed his mouth in that service while he was giving his testimony. Oh, it's I could not speak English. It would come out. It would come out in tongues. Don't you think for a moment that God doesn't love you? Don't think for a moment that God doesn't want to give you something greater. If you can get out from under the little K, the little king that you've subjected yourself to, if you can get out from under that, you'll have something much greater. He talked in tongues for 3 days. Real tongues. Not of himself, but the utterance of the Spirit. Oh, yeah. He was a changed man. And it took him all the way across the Jordan. Yeah. As a young preacher, after seeing Dub Nero worship God and know God and know life in a much greater way, a stroke hit him. I don't know how long Dub Nero laid on that hospital bed in their own home, and his wife totally cared for him. He could not speak so that I could understand. I would come in, he would signal that he recognized me. And when you, at the end of the visit, when I, at the end of the visit, would begin to pray for him, let me tell you, the stroke had taken away his communication with us, or from us, but his communication with God was still strong. He would weep. I don't know what he was saying, because it was not clear, but he was talking to God. I'm going to tell you, it carried him all the way across the Jordan. In the year that King Uzziah died, when that king that we put on the throne, when he got moved out of the way, I saw the Lord. I saw something so glorious that I never got over it. Whatever is happening to you, families, right now, whatever is happening to you, I've preached a long time, I've gone slow on purpose. You need to hear this. For those that it has not happened to yet, this needs to happen. What you built up and put as king, you need to let that be moved out of the way. You say, that's my identity. No, your identity as a child of God is having the Holy Ghost. Everything else is just stuff. Let me tell you what has happened in this virus episode. Whatever you think about it, whatever the real is, there have been some people who've received a much greater revelation of their Lord, Master, and God. Something that they will never get over. You've learned how to stand up on your own 2 feet and open up to real revelation. I'll tell you what. All of your money that you've got, it can't buy that. That's the goodness of God, that the whole world has stopped so that you can see him on his throne in a greater way. When I see him, I will know him. The chorus says, in the key of F, when I see him, I will know him. I'm going to tell you, I have seen his presence so many times in worship. I've seen his presence and felt his presence so many times in personal prayer. I've heard his voice. It's unmistakable. Whoa. Times that I've had with him, it's unspeakable. But it's him. It's him. When I finally see him, it won't be a different one. When I see him, I will know him. I am not yet perfect. He's working on me. I'm yielding to his hands. I want you to do that as well. I'm going to sing a chorus. And while I am singing, I want you, if you have not let this time change you, so that the little king self can be worked on. If you've not let that happen, please let it start now. I shall know him. I shall know him as redeemed in his presence. I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the print of the nails head. Our Father in heaven, I thank you that you've moved in to our midst while we have discussed your word. I thank you that with your anointing, you have revealed truth. You have revealed self to many, not just to this church family as they're listening, but to their friends and to extended guests all over this nation that have joined in, participated in the Word of God. Let them know, God. Let them know. Let us know. It's all right if the King is moved out of its place. The King of what self has built, so that we can see you. I pray those that have not repented, that they would repent, that they would turn around, that they would confess their sins and receive full forgiveness. For those listening that have never been baptized and never realized that baptism is essential to be overwhelmed. A baptism of the Lord Jesus. You have heard in this evening's message. Yes, it's necessary. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never received His Spirit, some may have repented of their sins, Lord, and some may have been baptized, but they have never received the infilling of the Holy Ghost experience with the evidence of the Spirit, your Spirit, speaking through them praises and glories. The Scripture calls it the evidence of another language. They've never experienced that. Oh God, let them so be open to the newness of what you're doing to them, that for the first time in their life, this greatness would happen. I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And for the entire church body, the days that we have left on this earth to serve Him, I pray, oh God, that we can do it without the little kings that get in our way. little kings that we've built up in life, that we can serve you, Lord, face to face. I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus, that people from this moment, this service on, dedicate themselves to knowing you, really knowing you, and consecrate themselves to discovering your greatness, a greater measure in their home, their family, their children, their marriage, every part of life. May it be so. Lay it in your hands, because you're the Savior. I pray it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. God bless you all. We plan to join with you again on Sunday morning at 9:45. I love you. I'm praying for your church family. We're going to make it. We're making progress. Bless you all in Jesus' name.
Thank you, all of you.